Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Saturday, what a day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
Saturday right's all right for rambling.
And Jim Campbell.
Hey-o.
This is the penultimate day of three games, nicely staggered a day.
Right, I don't know why I said Saturday right's all right for fighting. I meant to say Saturday night. Sorry, everyone.
I thought you said Saturday night's all right.
I could have styled it out then, couldn't I?
But you've been honest.
I have.
And honesty is what we value most.
It's the best policy.
I feel like Elton John would appreciate that more.
I think he would too,
than the reference.
Yeah, I wonder if he's enjoying the World Cup. Big Watford fan, of course.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah. And so you say, sorry, it's the penultimate day where we're having three games. Is that right?
Well, at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
Oh, because the final group games have to be played at the same time.
I think on Monday we go to 3 and 7 o'clock.
In our second screen culture, though, it's all right, isn't it?
I know, Jim.
One on the TV, one on your laptop.
But
not a problem.
No, not a problem.
Because you get sort of quite entrenched in this, you think to yourself, why on earth is what am I to do at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Yeah. Why are people offending me, the good viewer, by not having a game early? I'm going to have to wait till 3.
And my answer to that is, what will we do at 1 o'clock? Have you seen the Sky Sports series, the Premier League years? Watch those in order from 1 o'clock, and then 3 o'clock you'll be ready to go.
Do they still have Netbusters?
I don't think they do.
No, I don't think they do.
Premier League Netbusters, they've changed that. It's now like Premier League 100, which is like
the 100 people
who've scored 100 goals, yeah.
All right.
But anyway, there's no time for Premier League.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is right now. Yeah.
I was going to say, this foreign muck you talk of.
A deep, distant memory of mine was there used to be club football at one point. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's international football, it's here to stay. And Switzerland are making a big splash in international football. Great win for them. It was a lovely game. Right, no, sorry. I'll rephrase that. It certainly was not a lovely game.
No.
But it was a very enjoyable game for the neutral and for the Swiss. And, you know, they could even top the group, Switzerland.
Well, they're hard to beat, aren't they? They're sixth in the world, as we've spoken about before.
Yeah.
And
that's 1 in 24 or something?
Yeah, this is it. They are. They don't lose. They're very, very difficult to beat. They're a very stubborn team.
Jim, can I be honest with you?
Mm-hmm.
I underestimated them.
Did you?
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you think to...
You, of all people.
I think I did as well. Do you think people have... I know it's only one game we're talking about here. Do you think people have underestimated Switzerland and overestimated Serbia?
I absolutely think that as well. Because the thing is, they're not a particularly flashy team, are they, Switzerland? They've got Jordan Shaqiri as their main man, who we know is a very mercurial player.
He provides the flash.
Yeah, but he doesn't always do it. So it's not a game where you're going into that thinking, whoa, Shaqiri's gonna tear them up today. Looking forward to that. You think, well, he might do that.
But he does have a bit of World Cup pedigree. Scored.
He does.
Was it the only, I think Alan Shearer, when he looked back in the archives, the only all left-footed hat-trick at the World Cup or something
Isn't
like that?
Right, that's
you know,
great.
I think, so that would be his fourth World Cup goal, unless he got another one, which I can't remember.
Well, he got that overhead kick in the Euros as well, didn't he? Was that the Euros or was that
World
Cup?
That was the Euros. You see, he does like a tournament.
Yeah.
All of this throws into stark focus the level to which he was an absolute disgrace at Stoke. Doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it? It does.
Yeah. They'll be playing, he's essentially a championship player.
Yeah. He is right now.
I mean, I'm sure he'll get a move at some point.
Again, I don't know what the championship is, but...
Yeah, I was going to say.
I like Marcus. Can I just say also...
Go on, get in this.
That, you said Switzerland could top the group.
They could.
On the running order, and I really enjoyed this, you've put... They could top the group if they win big against already relegated Costa Rica. Bit of club football referencing going on there. So Costa Rica are going to be playing championship football next season
they
as
are.
Well.
I'm a bit annoyed at Granit Xhaka for scoring that excellent goal and not saving that up for whoever his club side are.
Yeah. That was a lovely one from him. Mm. I mean, he feels to me, and you would have seen him more closely than I have, Jim, but to me he feels like a one in every 40 that'll go in.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe a little lower than 40, but that's not a regular.
But a bit of extra bite for Granit Xhaka and Jordan Shaqiri playing against Serbia, as we saw from
hands,
their celebrations, which made the game, I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but it made the game quite snappy.
You're not. That definitely did. Yeah. And do you know what? I actually forgot about that. And even the manager of Switzerland, I think, was born in the Balkan region, in Europe.
Yeah.
So there was an extra bit of spice. Serbian fans booing Shaqiri, who has a Kosovan flag stitched on one of his boots. Mitrovic, I think, said before the game, well, if he loves Kosovo so much, why didn't he go and play for them?
Get the old Keane out. That's what Keane said about Vieira, about Senegal. Wasn't it?
Yeah. Although didn't Vieira say, well, if Roy Keane loves Ireland so much, why didn't he play for them? So there was added spice, absolutely no doubt about it. Which,
Petkovic didn't refuse to get involved, really, didn't he? I think he's Bosnian born, I think.
Is he right?
Yeah, he refused to get involved when asked about it.
Probably
a
wise idea.
Yeah, well, he said, which I think is, I guess, in the context of the World Cup, is, and I think he was probably mindful of potentially FIFA getting involved in a political.
Well,
he said, "I'm a sporting man. I'd like to stick to sport."
Yeah,
dodging that bullet.
Yeah,
no thanks.
As he said, well, he clenched his fist in the air. Yeah, but and so he should, because it was a great win.
If we're talking about Shaqiri being Switzerland's main man, who's Serbia's main man?
I think we all know that.
Yeah.
The wrestle to the ground, Alexander Mitrovic.
Outrageous.
What a great header, though. I tell you something, game of two halves this, and we've seen a few of these, of course, in the tournament so far. Serbia looked brilliant in the first half, and you thought to yourself, actually, they could kick on here. Mitrovic got his goal. He just causes a problem for so many defences. Mm. And it was lovely to see his little smiley face when he scored. Now, Switzerland, they did come back into it in the second half, but still, though, it was well contested, and really the Granit Xhaka goal came not out of nothing, because Switzerland were probing. The keeper, it didn't go that far away from him, but he was just unsighted, of course.
He saw it very, very late
in that crowd of players, and then the game kind of opened up a bit more. It was fairly end to end. But if you look at the Serbian midfield, you know, with Matic and Milinkovic-Savic in there and so on, they do have a very compact and tight midfield. And so I think they'll be very, very disappointed, because the ramifications of this are they've got to go and beat Brazil now.
Yeah, it feels like three teams should go through from this group.
Yeah, completely.
Feels like three of them are good enough.
Yeah, that's the way, isn't it? And it'll be it'll be very, very surprising, I think. I know I've just said that we overrated Serbia a little bit, but they have got a really good first 11, it seems.
Oh, yeah.
It would be surprising for them to not go through.
Mm. Well, but and they're up against it. But do you know what, though? Brazil, who we'll talk about in a moment, you would expect them now to get in their stride. You know, the scenes towards the end of the game, when after they scored, the flicks came out and they looked relaxed.
But do you think Serbia can hurt them, though?
I do.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, Costa Rica, with a tiny bit more quality on the break, could have got them.
And they left it very, very late.
They did leave it late.
I think the worry for Serbia, though, is we're starting to see Brazil wake up. As you said about Coutinho's goal in the first game, if they need a moment of magic to get something, they do have it and they will get it. And I think we had that again, but they were better
But they haven't faced a centre forward like Mitro yet.
But going back to Switzerland, I mean, they're now 11-4 with Bet365 to reach the quarter final of the World Cup. £10 returns £37.50, including stake. Of course, the spectre at the feast there is if they do win the group, they may well face Germany in the second round.
Absolutely.
Which would be a pretty scant reward for them.
Imagine that if Brazil, they play Mexico in the second round. Now, people might think, well, Mexico, a good side. Absolutely. But the psychological barrier that Mexico will have against Brazil, like a lot of South American teams, as we saw in World Cup 2014, Brazil do, I mean, they do for most teams, let's be honest. You come up against Brazil and you think,
it's tough psychologically.
But I think in Latin America, because Mexico sometimes play in the Copa America, you know, they've been on the end of some results there. But let's talk about Brazil then. It was a huge win for them. And I thought he went down a bit easy, did Cheech, but he did have a push on the back. And
where was Chong there to save him?
Yeah, he's not as chilled out as he used to be.
No.
Old Cheech got the basis of that. Yeah, ran on the pitch in celebration. I mean, much has been made about Neymar's talking to the referee performance in this game. And people say,
I will have a penalty now.
Well, people say,
I am Neymar the Redeemer.
I
redeem myself one penalty.
Yeah. Well, people say, like, the referee, he's good that referee stood up to him, blah, 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 blah. But he still gave that penalty.
He did, yeah.
Okay, they overturned it.
Yeah, but it wasn't his choice, was it?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think they've got problems still, Brazil.
Oh, I mean,
they win 2-0. Obviously, both goals scored in injury time. They found it very hard to find any sort of balance. I mean, it was like, I know Coutinho had a good game and down that left-hand side, they're very strong. But Willian got subbed off and it was almost a bit like, well, to be honest, it doesn't really matter who you play on the right-hand side if you're going to play in that way. Because
totally.
We said it going into the game, we said that Neymar needs to spend less time trying to get the ball in his own half and doing step-overs and winning fouls and more time further forward affecting the game. Now, I do think he was better, but I do also think that he is probably the biggest moaner in world football and takes it almost personally when he doesn't get a foul whenever he wants. And as good as a player as he is, of course he is. He's in the top five players in the world without question, in my view, and I'm sure many other people's view as well. As good as he is, other senior pros in that dressing room need to get hold of him and say, look, channel this in the right way, because at the moment, you are detracting from us as much as you are helping us. And when you come up, look, I don't think Switzerland, it's the first game, so maybe in the spirit of your attitude, Marcus, you give them a bit of a pass. Costa Rica aren't a very good team. They're never going to win it. They come up against Serbia, who have got a bit of quality. After that, go up against a team like Mexico or perhaps Germany. You can't afford to have a passenger. And I'm not saying Neymar is a passenger in the truest sense, as in he's not doing anything, but everything he does positively, he appears to sort of want to offset that negatively with some ridiculousness.
Yeah.
And that's not going to work for them in the latter stages of the tournament.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of pressure on Neymar, and I think now he's got that goal.
Do you think the tears were a relief?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. There's so much pressure on him, and it's pressure. I think this is a unique thing to Brazil. If you are the talisman of a Brazilian side and they function with talismans, we've seen it with Romario, we've seen it with Ronaldo, it stretches as far back as Pele, because there's that famous story of Pele promising his daddy would win the World Cup after what happened in 1950.
Yeah.
If you are a Neymar-style footballer playing for Brazil, you have to win them a World Cup. You have to.
True.
That's part of your makeup. Mm-hmm. That's part of the deal of being Brazil's striker and being one of those players. And the pressure on that must be absolutely enormous, especially with what happened last time. And I think that now Neymar's off and running, I think we're going to see more from him. I think he's going to light up this tournament.
I think that's fair. I agree. I think it's a great point. But how does that affect? That doesn't necessarily mean he has to behave. I mean, you never saw Ronaldo behaving in that way. That's my point is that I'm not saying everything he does, which is ridiculous, is somehow negating all the good stuff he does. I'm just saying it's unnecessary, and he could probably channel his energy in a little bit more of a positive way.
Yeah, but what I mean is perhaps is that coming from that pressure, and now that he's got his goal, will that ease?
Of course, yeah, there's nothing to say just because he's a really talented player. He's as adept at dealing with the pressure in the same way that another human being is. But yeah, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe now he has got a goal. You could tell he was desperate to score, desperate to make his mark, and maybe that's informing his decisions in quite a bad way on the pitch. Now he's got one, maybe he'll kick on. He is actually 16-1 to be top scorer this summer. £10 with Bet365 returns 170 including stake. He's got a long way to go. He's got a bit of catch up to play, but you'd expect Brazil to go deep. That said, though, Marcus, am I right in saying if they lose against Serbia, they could be out anyway?
Well, that's it. Yeah. I think that our friend Miguel Delaney made a good point. Was it today or yesterday that Brazil at the moment, it could go either way. They look like they've got the potential to do what they did in 2014. This sort of pressure cooker environment, people getting a bit emotional, the coach suddenly going on about Neymar, blah, 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 and you think, oh, this could explode. I mean, I don't think it will. I think they will beat Serbia because I think that for those reasons, I think Neymar's kind of like, well, again, with that little flick at the end and so on, you saw them go, ah, oh, right, and that was a vital win. If they had drawn that game, they'd be third going into the final round of games in the group. But I think they probably will beat Serbia, but I don't think it'll be easy.
Can I just say as well, for me, I don't know how you guys feel about it, Firmino has to start for them.
Well, that was what I was going to say.
He has to, I think, I know Jesus led... laid on a goal and I think he hit the woodwork as well. He's a good player, of course he is. I think Firmino has to play through the middle for them. I think he has to give him a focal point. He's so good, he's so tireless. He gives people, he gives other teams a lot more to think about, in my view.
Do you think certainly in 2010 when Spain brought their tiki-taka style to the global stage, if they hadn't already, and one thing another, and I, you know, 2014... I appreciate Germany won and they had closer up front. But at this tournament, it's quite interesting. The target man, if that's maybe the right expression, or certainly the focal point of attack, does seem perhaps more important than it has in previous years, maybe, with you're saying about Firmino. I totally agree. Look at France. What France have done with
Kane's
with
important. For England as well.
Kane's very important.
Drunk on Mitro?
Absolutely. I think Germany really lacked that against Mexico. I think Timo Werner's a very good player, but he's not that.
Maybe they'll start with Gomez then.
But that's the chat.
Sweden today, aren't they?
That is the chat.
And you know, the Mitro thing. I know it's like a half said in jest, but he's a really important player for them. I think if they play with a different type of forward with the formation they play, I don't think they'd be as effective. And Mitro, I mean.
What about, I mean, when he got wrestled to the ground, the defenders had to do that.
Of course. And I know finishing is essentially the most important part of being a forward. So what I'm about to say is potentially a little bit nonsensical. But if Mitro had taken his chances, he could have had four or five goals already this tournament. So he is busy. He is causing teams problems. He is causing even a team who I think we can all agree, even if we've underrated them, Switzerland are defensively very solid. He caused them all sorts of problems. All sorts.
And it was classic, wasn't it? Lichtsteiner involved in the wrestling. And I just thought, that's old. That's big Stefan for you.
Exactly what Arsenal need.
Good
exactly
news for whoever's club is.
Little mention for Douglas Costa's stepovers, Luke. You were raging on the WhatsApp.
I wasn't raging. It was just more of an observation.
You had a Roy Keane moment.
You guys, no, don't say that because you're paying me. Listen, you know, this is the last thing I need because
I've never seen so many expletives.
I made the point about free kicks taking too long and then Mark Lawrence made the same point. And now I feel like I'm in some sort of grumpy old man club.
And let me tell you something. It is just you and Laura at the moment because I tell you who.
I've had a few tweets
have
about
you? It. Yeah. Okay. I tell you who in the media is having a wonderful time in Russia. Chris Sutton.
Yeah.
Really? That country is good for that man's soul. He is absolutely loving being there.
He's very positive.
Oh, he's doing on the radio, he's doing like quizzes about different cities he's in.
He can't get enough of it. Yeah. You have not seen architecture until you've been at St. Petersburg. He's coming.
If you didn't have a really, really good show to listen to already, perhaps you might consider going to listen to him on the radio, but you don't need to.
So take our word for it.
Douglas Costa. I made the point that, and I think Douglas Costa obviously is a fantastic player. So excited to watch. Very quick, very tricky, great on the ball and all the rest of it. But if you've noticed, he always does exactly two step overs.
Yeah.
And if I'm coming at it as someone who, when I played as an amateur footballer, I played as a defender, I'm thinking, right, great. Well, he's going to do two every time. So I'll just wait for him to get them out of the way. Then I'll try and get the ball off him. Of course, I'm not saying I would be able to get the ball off Douglas Costa, but some of those professional defenders may be able
to. Luke, speaking from experience, suggesting that he'd be able to deal with Douglas Costa.
No. That's not what I said.
That's what you said on the WhatsApp,
fuming about how easily he tackled Douglas Costa.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be like the Panama Papers. I'm going to publish all these WhatsApps to exonerate myself.
I think we're all agreed that the person who would be the most worried isn't among us today.
I think the scales might fall from a few Marcus Speller fans' eyes.
That's absolute rubbish.
Outrageous by me,
rubbish.
That, isn't it?
Time for a break, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, let's reset ourselves.
After which, we'll talk about Nigeria and Iceland. See you in a moment.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey.
They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh, I remember that one fondly.
What's it from?
Colombia.
Is it the Colombia game? Okay.
And then afterwards.
About 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, Gordon Bennett, it is.
What did I tell you guys? I watched that in a wet, muddy field at Glastonbury in 1990.
Yeah, you did.
You
really?
Yeah.
How about that, eh?
Yeah, it's a terrible memory.
Memory lane with Luke Moore. Nigeria are right back in the runnings.
They are.
They really, really are. If they get a point against Argentina, it will probably be enough to go through. It's a tall order now for Iceland. They really could have done with a win. They came out the traps pretty fast, actually, which is something that we don't really associate with yeah. Iceland, well, unless they're playing England.
We identified this game as the one
they went to the goal down here. Yeah, absolutely. I'm absolutely right. They will find it. I don't know how you feel about it, but they're only light at the end of the tunnel is that Croatia have already qualified.
Yeah, but I think Croatia are far too professional to slip up, and I suppose Iceland will have to come at them and attack them. That'd be interesting to see. It actually will probably make for a better game, actually. But I was gutted for them. Really, really was. But Nigeria were very, very good. They mixed it up a lot. They were a completely different side to what we saw against Croatia.
It's one of those ones, isn't it? You gutted for Iceland, but really pleased for Nigeria.
Definitely.
Because Nigeria just weren't that great, were they, in their opening game against Croatia? And you thought to yourself, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Don't just turn up and just...
Marcus, they used their first game as a bit of a learning experiment as well.
Well, he tactically switched it right up.
And he changed some players as well. I think it was the right move to play Iheanacho up front. I think he's more of a dangerous prospect in the gala.
And fair to say he got the selection right with Musa, wasn't it?
Yeah, they played two up front in that game. Did they play two up front in the first game?
More of a 4-2-3-1.
Okay, right.
And I think it was Igalo who played up front in the first game.
It was, yeah.
And he had Iwobi in there as well. He had John Obi Mikel playing a more sort of number 10 role.
Mikel played in a much more natural position for his skills.
Right.
And he was much more able to dictate. I think they realised that Iceland are a robust team, so they needed a bit of steel in there. And Mikel is far better suited to that role. Playing him further forward. We even called that before the Croatia game. We said, look, that's not the right position for him.
He's played that before for Nigeria, but I know what you mean. But for the vast majority of his career, he hasn't. So it was very difficult. But going to that 3-5-2, the back three is a weapon for some teams, and it certainly proved to be for Nigeria. But they're right back in the runnings, and it's going to be a fascinating fixture against Argentina.
Yeah.
They've played each other so many times, these two.
Was it a 3-2 last time around?
I think it might have been, yeah.
This is the most World Cup game apart from any game that involves Mexico.
Yeah, that's true.
What did you think? I mean, I think Sigurdsson missed his penalty in the 81st minute, which would have made for a good last 10 minutes.
Do you know what? It was, for me...
You could see he was going to miss that. The run-up was too short.
It's almost like his mind wasn't there, his kind of heart wasn't in it.
Overthinking it.
Yeah.
Thinking, I am the Premier League player here, I'm the one that's got to take everything by the scruff of the neck, I'm going to do something a bit different, and the fact that I am a quality player validates that being the right choice, and that was wrong. I
think Andy
made
Gray.
A bad decision.
I thought I am the best player.
Yeah.
And I just... Get off the mic. Yeah. It's such a strange one because you say when he took that penalty, I just thought, yeah, so obviously he was going to miss, really. And stop that, Jim.
Yeah, Jim, and, trying to cut off Marcus. Did you think it was a penalty anyway?
Obviously, of course it was. Yeah,
That was VAR'd as well, wasn't it? It was VAR'd.
Yeah, but that was an easy one to make.
Wasn't the ref good at the first time then? It's the third time that's happened.
Yeah,
like, that's one of the consequences, I suppose. The refs now
double check and maybe doubt themselves.
Yeah.
Well, it was the right decision was made. But what I'm saying is, Sigurdsson steps up. Obviously, he's their best player, and so on and so forth. I just wonder: was there someone else who could have taken that penalty, and could the manager have maybe stepped in? I don't know, but I suppose even if they did score, they didn't look like maybe getting another one. They didn't. They lost 2-0 anyway. Another game of two halves. Nigeria did turn it on in that second half.
I think my take on that, by the way, was just that. Because Nigeria played this three central midfielders type thing with Etebo, Mikel and Ndidi, all good players in my view, Iceland tired really badly. And they always felt like they had, especially in the second half, because I think it was quite warm there as well. Mm-hmm. In the second half, they tired and they were getting... And there's no coincidence that Nigeria looked much better in the second half. A lot more energy. They had a lot more... They essentially had a man over in the midfield. I'm surprised the coach of Iceland didn't change it.
What a goal from Musa, though, that first one.
Yeah, it was a lovely one. Yeah.
It was one of the goals of the tournament, that.
It was so good.
And that take.
But again, it just shows you in tournaments, and this is one of the great things about tournament football, is because over a course of a season, yeah, goal can give you confidence and so on and so forth. But of course, it's not the same in that kind of atmosphere of the short-term tournament. And Musa, when he scored that goal, it gave them all such a lift. And so, he had one off the bar. They were taking shots. They are now alive, and that is bad news for Argentina. Argentina, yes, they would have wanted Iceland not to win the game. So that was the first point. But they would have rather, a draw, or maybe Nigeria kind of squirm to a 1-0 win or something. But the way Nigeria finished the game, Musa getting the second, them all celebrating, they will go into that game thinking, we will get chances against Argentina. Because Argentina, they look like they've got gaps in their defence. If they try and play a high line, and Nigeria have got a bit of pace that could hurt them.
Especially
Nigeria, don't count them out because they could finish second in this group.
Yeah, the Nigeria from that game looked a different team from the Croatia game, and that is the absolute last thing that Argentina.
That was great to see them.
Realistically, Nigeria only need a draw as well, don't they? Which could be dangerous to going into the game. And they would be relying on Iceland not beating Croatia, but I think that's probably a fair reliance to make.
But I just wonder what the mood is like in the Argentina camp. Will they get a lift from that, or will they think, oh, we'd rather it just all be over. You really don't know.
Their press will be tearing into them at the moment, but that in itself might create a siege mentality. I mean, it seems crazy that Argentina could still get through the group, and it's not even that unlikely, but we'll see. The thing I was going to say about that first goal, you sort of touched on this a little bit yourself, Marcus, is a goal like that, when it's at a World Cup, it's like it's encased in amber forever to be sort of reanimated later on and enjoyed for generations to come. And I think a lot has been made about how good the Iceland fans have been, and they have, and the thunderclap was on show and was brilliant, although the Nigeria fans did it, which I didn't like.
Was that not a tribute to the Iceland fans?
Perhaps, but I don't know.
Little World Cup dig.
World Cup dig. If you're doing it, why can't we do it?
Yeah, but the obviously everyone's been talking about the Peru fans, the Panama fans have come in for a lot of credit as well, but the Nigeria fans are consistently amazing, and they deserved that. They deserve their kit, they deserve that goal, they deserve that win, and they're brilliant, and I hope we see more of them.
Jim, if Argentina squeezed to a 1-0 win over Nigeria and go through, would it be the most underwhelming group stage performance to qualify in living memory?
Absolutely.
But this is the thing, when you think, we're all saying, oh, but they've got Messi, they've got this, but you can't really see it happening.
Say that, but I mean, it's easy to come away from this Iceland game saying Nigeria were worthy winners, but they gave up some chances early on and Iceland didn't take them.
True.
They also gave away a penalty, which Iceland didn't take. Mm-hmm. That result I know Nigeria dominated the second half at large, but Iceland could have snuck a point there.
Yes.
If they'd scored those early couple of chances, and taken a penalty, which was given to them, they could have come out about that with a draw.
I know what you're saying.
So Nigeria are no way infallible. They're not infallible.
No, they're not. But
I know what you're going to say. Argentina are shit. Agree.
But Argentina need to win. They will leave gaps at the back. And we've seen the pace of Musa and Moses and one or two others in there. It'd be very interesting, and it's a game I'm sure everyone is looking forward to seeing.
We spoke about this with the Croatia
game as well.
Two great
kits as well.
Classic, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But what happens if they get a penalty? The pressure on that. Yeah. Pressure on Messi if they get a penalty at 0-0. Blimey.
Yeah. Blimey O'Reilly.
Pressure on Sir Goodson as well if they get a penalty.
Absolutely right. Now, let's turn our attention to today's fixtures. Belgium versus Tunisia. It'll be interesting to see how Tunisia get on and see how good England really are.
Well, I've been a bit confused by sort of how positive everyone's been about Belgium after their game against Tunisia, because in the first half they looked very frustrated. Against Panama, of course. They looked very frustrated. There was a lot's been made of this stuff that Hazard's been saying about Lukaku, saying that apparently he was anonymous in the first half and how, you know, they needed to give him a rocket up his arse at half time and all this other stuff. Of course, he went on to get a couple of goals or whatever, but Belgium against Panama winning 3-0, based on that first half performance, I wasn't impressed with them at all, and I thought Panama were dreadful. Now, I understand that's probably going to come back and bite me tomorrow when England play them, but Tunisia, I think, are probably a little bit better and a little bit more robust than they've got credit for.
Tunisia are better than Panama.
100%. So it will be a fascinating encounter, because if Tunisia can nick something, that throws this group wide open.
This is one of those ones where the Panama coach said England was a game that we were targeting, we can get something out of. And you just think, yeah, they'll look at some of the performances of England in recent tournaments and they'll say, look, we can get at this lot. I'm just hoping that we've got over that
we're not taking this game for granted.
But presumably you guys think Belgium will... I mean, I said yesterday that it'll be interesting if they get something, Tunisia, but Belgium... Presumably,
you'd expect Belgium to win, right. But Tunisia need to get something, as you say. So I don't know whether that goes in Belgium's favour or not, because Tunisia will show more attacking ambition than they did against England. They showed very, very little. But they defended quite well against England at times. Obviously, there was a number of chances England created. So how do they play that against Belgium?
I just think Belgium have got the hallmarks of a team that if it doesn't go well for them early on, and you can argue that England are a bit like this as well, because England always start very fast. Belgium look to me, early to say, but they look to me like a team that if it doesn't go well for them, they start to get frustrated, they start to struggle. And I don't rate the manager to change it up. I don't think he's got the power and the dressing to do so, and I don't think he's particularly good, particularly defensively, as a lot of people would say. So this game is a big litmus test for them. Tunisia are a robust, quite highly rated team. I think they're the highest ranked African team at the competition.
21st, I think.
So there's questions to answer here still for Belgium, which they'll do this afternoon. Don't want to go too much into it, because of course by the time a lot of people hear this, the game would have already been played. But it will throw the route wide open if Belgium don't win.
Very much so. South Korea versus Mexico. Will Mexico be brilliant again? Totally different challenge for them now. The coach said that he prepared for about 6 months before the Germany game.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out if he did any preparations for the other games.
Yeah.
He's taken each game as it comes.
We've got 6 months on this one. We only had a few days on South Korea.
We expect to lose 7-0.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, they've got the 3 points. They can relax a little bit. South Korea need to go at them, because they were very disappointing against Sweden, and they need something. And they could all but be out, South Korea, after two games. You don't want that.
Well, Sweden-South Korea was one of the poorer games that we've seen.
It was.
And you wonder how much of that was down to Sweden, because they like to play in a certain way, which is, you know, perfectly legitimate and fine for them to do so. Maybe we'll find a bit more about South Korea today, because Mexico will play in the way they play, and that will give South Korea opportunities, I would have thought. That said, Germany couldn't make the most of anything, so we'll see. For me, Germany-Sweden is the most interesting game.
Oh, yes.
Because this is a must-win for Germany, for sure.
Sweden can sit back and defend.
And they're good at that.
They are.
Yeah.
They take a point as well, would old Sweden.
And we spoke to Andy Brassel, who's out there, obviously, and he said he was either at the Germany press conference or he saw it, and he said that Yogi Love was being very dismissive of any notion that Germany were in trouble. But yet, what's come out over the last couple of days from, I think, Manuel Neuer, is that they had essentially a massive bust-up in the dressing room after the game, the German team.
It doesn't sound like a happy camp.
Yeah, and so you wonder who's telling the truth. I mean, you'd imagine Neuer's being truthful there.
Yeah.
I find it interesting when this stuff comes out. I perfectly understand the idea that when you're in a group of people and you want to achieve something, you have a few disagreements and that happens. I don't think it's necessary to release it to the press.
Well, are the German press not doing their job, Luke? Are they not trying to help the team?
Let's not get into this. but listen, draw or Sweden is 8-5 with Bet365 in this game against Germany. So £10 returns £26. Should the Swedes get a point or better in, let's face it, a result the world wants to see.
What did you think of the story about Marcus Berg, of course, who plays up front for Sweden? He's let out his apartment to a competition winner back in Sweden just for the group stages, which suggests that he doesn't think they're going to go very far.
I will need it back.
Berg provided travel to Gothenburg, which is where the apartment is, and arranged to pay the bill at a number of restaurants
Why is he doing this?
I don't know. But Jesper, the lucky competition winner, said he was very pleased, of course, that Sweden won the first game. He was loving it. He had some of his mates around in the apartment. I assume that was signed off by Berg himself. But he also added, but Marcus Berg should have scored.
All right.
And I thought, well, what more do you want him to give you?
Do you reckon every time the home phone rings, he's like, right, give it down. It might be Marcus. What are you doing? Nothing. Having a glass of wine. Listening to a bit of classical music.
You know, in fact, I'm actually staying at the hotel next door.
Is that Ronaldinho in the background? No, it isn't.
Well, I thought to myself, this is mildly reminiscent of when Ronaldinho let his house out during the Brazil World Cup.
Yeah.
Although I think the clientele it attracts is probably a little bit different.
What do you mean by that, Marcus?
I think we all know what I mean. All right? Let's drink.
Yeah.
Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Yeah, we were very close with the last best bet. We had over 3.5 goals in Argentina-Croatia, and it was 3-0, sadly. But we're going back in for England, of course, this time around. Tomorrow afternoon, they play Panama, of course. And we can't really do anything other than a patriotic bet, really, can we? So, I've gone for England to win both halves.
Right.
So they need to win both halves. Take the halves as separate from the game. They have to win both of them. It's 11-8. So £50 with Bet365 returns £118.75. All proceeds, of course, go to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, go to begambleaware.org. England to win both halves. Let's have it going.
Come on, Gareth, guys.
Yes.
Football with your unicorns and your lovely times.
And don't forget our World Cup song, It's the World Cup brackets, I Love This Tawny, is available on iTunes to download now for 99p.
It better not be.
It's not, no.
Because we need to write a verse or two.
Yeah. I've got it in my locker, don't worry.
Uh-huh. And we need to factor in a Pete Donaldson rap.
I've got a Skype call with Ricky Wilson of the Kaiser Chiefs later, so he's going to give me a few pointers.
Yeah, and also it's a squad freshness rap.
Yes, of course.
Featuring Plastic Bertrand.
Forgive me. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. We're off to watch a load of football again, as I'm sure you are too. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Laters.
And thank you from me and from London. London, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.